wherever you listen throughout the world. It's football time.
Episode of the Gridiron Guys, welcoming to you, filmed in front of a live studio audience again. Cam has made his way over to headquarters, and here we are, looking to do the mid-season review. Now, unfortunately, we were trying to have Meikle in as well, but he couldn't make it. But as I said, Cam's here. How you going, Cam? Coming off one of the all-time Falls Day 3 migraines, how you feeling?
Yeah, geez, the head noise was very loud. No, I think Meikle might not be here because he's probably a bit embarrassed about some of the picks he made for the season. They're actually looking pretty poor, but we'll go through them and see where we're at for halfway through the season compared to what we thought at the start of the year.
Yeah, and it's been a crazy halfway through the season. I think you look through some of those predictions we made, some were bang on, I love them, and then others were just so wrong, and that's just been the crazy thing about this season, hasn't it? It's been all ups and downs, topsy-turvy, but I don't think you'd have it any other way, would you?
No, that's right. I think this season's actually been pretty exciting just for the most part. I actually don't think our predictions were too far off mostly. There's some, yeah, you're right, some we whiffed on fairly badly, but I think we nailed a fair few of them, but there's just some we probably didn't expect that we never would have thought of.
Yeah, perfect. Well, before we get into that, we're getting back to our new segment again, the Teddy Brewskis. We're back again this week.
Yes.
This week we have the James Squire Alcoholic Ginger Beer. So we're sort of moving away from the XPAs and the flower beers, and we've got, well, I suppose ginger beer, you could sort of say it's a bit of flower beer too, hey?
A little bit. We'll get the spiel here. A ginger zing that teases and tickles in the throat and quenches a flaming thirst. So, look, it sounds appealing. I don't mind a good old alcoholic ginger beer. I guess normally you sort of have your non-alcoholic, but sometimes you treat yourself to one of these. So we'll crack this and we'll discuss it at the end of the episode. Have a go.
Oh, yeah, very gingery.
Massively. All right, so... Yeah.
Perfect. Look, where do we start? Should we start at MVP, I suppose?
Yeah, look, MVP, you and Meikle had, Josh Allen and I had Justin Herbert. So, I mean, you could probably put a pencil or a pen through Justin Herbert. I wouldn't say unless he has a big back nine, we're going to see much from him. Josh Allen's probably in the box seat, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. Herbert, you're looking at Herbert, his year, what do they stand at then? At that five wins, I think, or something like that?
5-3, I think, something like that.
Yeah, and not pretty lackluster, I suppose. Like, even though they've got five, look, you look at him, he's got about over 2,000 yards. He's running at 13 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. So, sort of really poor conversion rate there.
Yeah, massively.
About 66%. So, when he ranks up in the league, so I'll just get these stats up for you.
Yeah.
So, he's tied 9th for touchdowns, 5th for yards, 13th for interceptions, and 11th for QBR. So, certainly, I think, as we sort of mentioned, they have had their struggles this year, especially on that offensive line. Lots of injuries coming through there, and especially some of the injuries as well on wide receiver. So he hasn't had some great options to throw to, and I just think the class and caliber of teams that they've come up against, they just haven't been able to gel that early on, and it's really struggled him. But you look at someone like Josh Allen, I think he leads the league. It's easy. But it begs the question, would you look at someone like who's sort of pushed through, maybe a Tua Tagovailoa, or even like, look, Jalen Hurts, not the numbers, but the credentials and the wins, would that work into MVP status?
Maybe? Yeah, that's probably what my question was going to be. I guess I've just pulled up the odds here. Now, Josh Allen's sitting third on our sports betting at 450. Jalen Hurts second at 350. Patrick Mahomes sitting 275.
Can't forget about Patty Mahomes.
I guess we do gloss over the fact that we've talked about it before, and the expectation and the bar he set, it's like, oh, well, if he doesn't do that, he's not that great. But if you compare him individually against each of those quarterbacks, well, I mean, he's better than most of them. They're still winning. His supporting crew has changed slightly, and they're still getting Ws. But, yeah, Hurts is definitely making a case. Obviously, if they keep winning, it really helps him if he keeps putting on a show. But I don't think he wins it. I think, yeah, Mahomes or Josh Allen takes this out.
I think I'm going to stick with Josh Allen for me. I'm really bullish on him. We've seen what he's done in the first part of the season. Bar this Jets game on the weekend, he's basically been perfect, hasn't he? Like, immaculate.
Yeah, he's been exceptional. I guess, quickly, if we touch on that game and Josh Allen, are the Bills too reliant on Josh Allen as an overall? Like, passing game, obviously, it's always going to be reliant on him, but his rushing seems to be reliant on him as well. If they can't rush and he can't rush, they've got no rushing game.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I suppose it makes it really easy for the defense about what they're going to do next.
You absolutely.
Lock up Gabe Davis and Diggs.
Yeah, well, that's right. Well, DJ, probably the two of the best, like the best corner duo in the league, Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed, like they locked him up pretty well. Yeah. Diggs had a nice breakout reception and a touchdown, but other than that, like they were pretty good against him. He didn't throw for a whole amount.
No, not at all. I think, yeah, because you do see him. He does rush a bit, doesn't he? And he likes to use his legs, but he is a lot bigger as well, so you don't see him as like that rushing prototype, do you? But he can bang out 60 yards quite consistently as well.
Well, I think that's the thing. Like people always talk about Lamar and these dual-threat quarterbacks, but I mean, what, Josh Allen probably runs more than them. He takes more hits than them. Just because he's a bigger body, he doesn't quite get the same, I don't know, not the same...
scrutiny.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm looking for. Scrutiny is probably the word. Not that he needs it. I don't think any of them really deserve it. But, yeah, he runs a whole lot more than people anticipate. I think and he scores a lot of touchdowns running too.
No, he absolutely probably should be a dual threat quarterback.
Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, look, I think it's not a bad shout. I wouldn't mind staying with Patty Mahomes. I think if they can beat the Chargers this week, they've been flexed to Monday night, I think, or Sunday night. I think he's every chance to win it again.
Yeah, perfect. Well, so that's that. We will get Meikle's mail-in votes as well, so don't worry, fans of Meikle, they will come. Now we move to Offensive Player of the Year. Myself, I had Derrick Henry, and you two had Justin Jefferson. Thoughts on those picks?
I mean, Jefferson's, what, second in the league in receiving yards. We did see the other day he only scored his second touchdown for the season this week, since week one, I believe. Not that he's been bad by any stretch. I mean, the Vikings are 7-1. He's obviously been playing well, but he wouldn't, for me, be in the conversation for Offensive Player of the Year. Derrick Henry's probably making more of a case as of late.
Yeah.
Because he is Tennessee Titans offense at the moment. Malik Willis barely throws the football. I don't know if he ever has in his life. But, yeah, it's an interesting one. There's no odds here that I can see, so I don't really know who's the favorite at the moment. But, yeah, I don't know if either of those are going to win it.
I mean, you're sort of looking at Derrick Henry. Your other options early season was Jonathan Taylor. That was the other big one as well.
Hasn't he blown it?
Yeah, and I think this is a bit of an issue with the Colts. And we talked about it at the start of the year. Like, the introduction of Matt Ryan was always going to mean less ball for JT.
Mm.
And it did, and that has spiraled out of control. That's gone awfully. So, and I think that has affected the team as a whole, and that has put him down. So I think that's where he comes in. Look, Justin Jefferson, I think, again, look, we've seen it previously. Yards don't mean shit for wide receivers. It's got to be, you've got to either break records to be up there, because otherwise there's just no point.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You've got to be doing something special to win this award. Yeah, you're right. Like, I think, yeah, he's putting up stats and he's doing well, but, yeah, he's not doing enough to probably put his name up for contention. Jonathan Taylor, I suppose, is a struggle in Colts. Surprisingly, their O-line sucks. Like, that, for a team that's probably built around their O-line a lot of years, they've got Quentin Nelson, a few other guys on the line. They're really, really poor.
No, I know. It's just been a spiraling death for them, hasn't it? So I suppose I'm looking at Derrick Henry, especially when you look to the back half of the season. The Titans, as you said, very rush heavy. It's almost like they were the perfect team. They're just like a good wide receiver, maybe an AJ Brown or Julio Jones away from a Super Bowl.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely right. But looking at the odds here, I mean, they've got Jalen Hurts sitting up pretty high in Lamar Jackson.
There you go.
We talked about this at the start of the season. I guess we said this is the best award outside of a quarterback for the best offensive player. But could they go a second quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, I don't think so, to be honest. Mm. As I said, I'm pretty fact on that. And MVP has always been the quarterback, unless you've got like a crazy Adrian Peterson year or something like that. And so this is the best of the rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, I agree. Tyreek Hill sits up there. Stephon Diggs sits up there. Cooper Kupp, who's, because the Rams haven't been winning, I guess has been quiet, but still putting up stats quietly.
Yeah.
So
Kupp's dived down on Hill. I think probably Tyreek Hill. He's been quite amazing over the Dolphins. And I suppose you've got to look at them as well. They've transformed that whole team, haven't they? So I suppose that's probably leaning into more of MVP category, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I do like it, as I said, for the best of the rest. Maybe a smoky there.
Yeah, I don't think either of us are going to be... I don't think we've picked this one right either.
Well, we suppose this was the interesting one. We're all split on this one, next one. Defensive Player of the Year. Now, myself, Miles Garrett, you've got Micah Parsons. Meikle was Aaron Donald. Look, I think Aaron Donald has still been amazing, but you can see his production has definitely lacked this year.
Yeah, oh, massively. Production's significantly lacked. I suppose the team's... I guess we're just not hearing about the Rams. I guess we're so used to hearing about the Rams week in, week out. Donald's performance, Ramsey's performance, Cup's performance, like Stafford, but they've been pretty mediocre this season. So we're not seeing huge things. I'm just looking at the odds here. Michael Parsons currently $1.39. Now,
yeah,
early days we were hearing heaps about him, maybe less so at the moment, but I think Cowboys are flying under the radar a fair bit. Like, they're 6-1, looking pretty good, and they've been playing without Dak for most of the season, and defense is looking excellent. So Michael Parsons, yeah, I suppose I can see why they have him as favorite.
It's been their defense, and I know me at the start of the year, I was really worried about Micah being the focal point and having a bit of second-year syndrome, and that there just wasn't any other guys to sort of take some pressure off him. But I believe, you know, I'm happy to be proven wrong, because he has. He's actually stepped up and taken the mantle, hasn't he? And really come in clutch big time for that defense. And you can show that this kid, he's got the balls to play. He can play some good footy.
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely excellent. And look, I think at all 39 is probably a bit low at this point. I mean, injuries can happen. Anything can happen. If he keeps on the same track, he's probably going to win it. But I can see guys here like Myles Garrett and even a Smokey and Matthew Judon.
Yeah.
Judon clocked up, what, 2 or 3 sacks on the weekend. He's now leading the league in sacks.
Yep.
So I think there's every chance that he can come through this and win it.
Yeah, I suppose, look, another Smokey, Von Miller has popped up again.
He's been
you know, reinvigorated again down at the Bills. He pops up every couple of games with a few sacks and things like that. Really scary guy. Probably not going to happen, but I think Smokey for a bit of value. Look, I like Micah Parsons, but I'm probably going to stick to my Myles Garrett. I think, look, hopefully he can come through for me, but just the way that the Browns have been going and the sort of offense they've been running up, it's tough to sort of give it to them, really, hasn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit tricky, but yeah, Garrett's just dominant each week. Look, I think myself and you are probably any chance of winning that. I don't think Donald's going to be making any dents.
No, not at all. Look, probably a really contentious one now. Comeback player of the year.
Oh, yeah.
So I had Jameis Winston, who has come back to being shit again. And then you went Robinson, and then Mika went CMC. Now, CMC off to the 49ers has been pretty lackluster. Good game the other weekend. But look, I think for comeback player of the year, he's sort of out of it. And for me, I don't know about you, but there's two standouts. It's Geno Smith and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, I don't think anyone see anyone outside of those two winning it. Saquon, less of a surprise than Geno. Like, I think Geno's been a massive surprise.
Yeah.
I just think the system works. I think we're kind of now seeing, was Russell almost a system quarterback in Pete Carroll's offense rather than he was the offense?
Yeah, I reckon so. And I think it was either they were system or Pete Carroll knew how to not get the best out of him, but just like deal with Russell's shit enough that he could put him in an area where it's like, Russell, you just do this and focus on this one thing, and that way your mind doesn't wander. And, you know, you're doing dumb shit out on the side, and, you know. I think that's probably more what he did, and he's just been able to focus on it. Just like we said to Geno, Geno is literally just focused on not throwing interceptions, and crazily enough, that's worked for him. Now, my interesting thing about this comeback player of the year is I'm leaning towards Saquon, only for the fact is that Geno, for me, has never been good. Like, I know this is probably like going a bit into the deep end, but like, what's he come back from? Nothing. Like,
out of the ether. You're right. That does beg the question of what entails a comeback? Like, an injury, absolutely. Like, I don't even see Brian Robinson on this list. So I'm a little disappointed. I mean, apparently getting shot doesn't warrant. Well, I know he hasn't been excellent, like, but it's a big expectation for a rookie coming back from what he's come back from. But yeah, that's a weird award. If Geno wins it, I can understand why. But at the same time, I also don't understand with what you've just said. Like, what exactly are you coming back from? Just being shit and being in shit franchises and playing crap football. Like,
now you finally learn how to play after 5 seasons.
That's right, exactly. You're not really coming back from anything. If we letter of the law, but he's every chance to win it at the moment. I think he's good odds.
I think they keep going too, especially considering they're probably going to win their division with the way it looks, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think Cardinals, Rams, who's the last one in their division? Oh, 49ers. I think 49ers could probably still take it from them. I think they're good enough, and with CMC, I reckon they're a smoky. We'll talk about it later, but they're a smoky for making the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, moving on to the next one, we had Offensive Rookie of the Year. Now, myself, I'm Breece Hall. was going gangbusters until his ACL. So I think that was basically a lock. Like,
you were home with that, I reckon, for quite a while.
Oh, it's really tough. And then you went Damien Pierce, and Mika went Chris Olave, who I think is going to be the front runner now.
All decent options. Brees Hall would have been front runner for me for a long time, and you would have been very happy with that. Kenneth Walker now is sitting at favourite.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, and I can understand it. $1.76, Damien Pierce $3.25, Chris Olave $8.75. Olave's decent, leading all receivers. Yeah. Pierce, yards after contact, is wild, but I think Kenneth Walker's just exploded onto the scene lately. Like,
yeah.
He's just taken over that role and just taken it in his stride. He's been excellent. So I can see why he is favourite at the moment.
Yeah, and he's just filled that gap. As we said, Brees Hall was coming up and making those gangbuster runs. And as soon as he sort of disappears, Kenneth Walker's really gotten in touch with it, hasn't he? And he's really found his step. I suppose, yeah, I'm a big fan of Olave. I've got a little bit of fantasy bias because I know we love our fantasy players. But I suppose, yeah, looking at it, probably leaning towards, again, another wide receiver bias type thing. He's got to go out and really break some records because we know that even with Justin Jefferson's big-ass year, he still couldn't even jam it over a Justin Herbert.
Yeah, well, that's right. I mean, yeah, you're kind of setting the bar there. And I think it's, do the goalposts move sometimes, year to year? Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's the issue for me. Is like, it's like the Russell, going off topic from NFL, Russell Westbrook MVP season when he just averaged a triple-double. Well, I mean, if he does that for the rest of his career or continue to do that, why doesn't he deserve it in the future? Like, is it just because he's done that now, it's not good enough if he does it again? I don't know. The goalposts seem to shift every year.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something in all facets of sport, like we talked about, when you were talking about college football playoff today, and that changes every week. So, yeah, look, I think you're right. I think it's going to be hard to go past these running backs. They just, if they get a good year in them, they normally win it.
Yeah. So now looking on to our last individual player award, we've got Defensive Rookie of the Year. Now, you and Meagle both had Hutchinson, and I had the Sauce Man. Now that is a lot.
Oh, you're
That's safe as houses.
Yeah, it's a pretty good payout right now. The only person I think is pushing him is Smokey of Tariq Woolen. $3.15 in the betting. Alan Gardner is $1.85. So there's still some wiggle room there. $1.85
is actually... $1.85 is good. You got to get on that.
I was going to say, that's actually not bad value. That's almost really tempting to take right now. $1.85, you win yourself a bit of money. Aiden Hutchinson's $15. Jack Jones is another surprising one. There's a couple of guys up here that we probably wouldn't have thought of at the start of the year. Jalen Pitra, playing for the Texans at the moment. I'm not seeing any of the big names. Trayvon Walker's a little bit further down there, but... Yeah, Sauce Gardner, I'm shocked at that $1.85. I don't know why. He's been clamped, locked down. Tariq Woolen has been excellent, mind you. If Seahawks take out both, I guess he was player of the month in October, Tariq Woolen. They had both the Seahawks as a rookie of the month. But, yeah, I think I might put a bet on this when we finish up.
I think it's just Sauce. Like, you look at everyone he's gone up against. Like, and they played some good teams. Oh. You know, obviously, the Bills last week.
Yep.
They play, like, Miami twice, Patriots, and he's locked up everyone. But he's just... And, like, his interceptions aren't huge numbers. Like, that's fine. But it's the fact that no one wants to throw to him. And two, when they do, they barely get a ball to them or they get, like, minimal yards. It's just ridiculous. He covers these people like a blanket. And it's crazy that you're talking about a guy coming out of a group of five. I mean, granted, they went to the semifinal, got pretty spanked. But you're talking about a guy who was a group of five, probably wasn't on anyone's radar, realistically. But then they came through to semi-final, and he's just come out and he's just translated his game so well from that college level to the pros without missing a beat.
Oh, 100% he hasn't. I guess you're right. The numbers don't jump off the board in terms of interceptions. Pass defense, I think he's got a fair few. He's been excellent in that category. I guess it's hard looking at stats for cornerbacks because man-to-man coverage, I think he's just been stupid, like lights out.
No one can touch him. I don't think, as soon as they're man coverage, you're basically not going to get a pass.
That's right, yeah. Some people get catches on him and a few, but like it's not as if he was directly involved in it, and I think that's the hard thing. But I suppose, yeah, talking about Cincinnati, like their defense last year when they made it, I mean, you've got two starting cornerbacks in Sauce Gardner and Kobe Bryant who are both playing excellent football at the moment. Seahawks picked up Kobe, and he's playing really good. I think, I don't know if he's a starting role, but I know Tariq Woolen is. He might be a slot corner.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they've got two starting NFL cornerbacks playing on their defense in that year. So, I mean, I can see why they were so good.
Yeah, it's just insane and how he's sort of pushed straight up. I mean, look, we talked about Hutchinson. He sort of had a couple of games here and there, flashes in the pan type stuff.
Yeah.
I think Trayvon Walker as well. We knew he was going to be like a prototype guy. It wasn't going to be ready for this year. Some of the other big names, Stingley came out, didn't he? Like, what's been going on with
him? Yeah, Stingley's been okay. He's not sitting up there in the odds. I'll go through him here. Ahmed Gardner, Tariq Woolen, Aiden Hutchinson, Jack Jones, Kayvon Thibodeau, who's one who started late.
That's right.
He's actually flashed pretty well. Jalen Pitra, who's a safety that was taken a little bit later out of Oregon, I believe. Devin Lloyd, who is one out of Utah that I liked earlier in the season. Roger McCreary, cornerback of the Titans. Trayvon Walker, the number one picked. And then George Karlaftis. Well, that's kind of going under the radar for the Chiefs. Like, he doesn't hear his name a lot, but he's been excellent for them.
Yeah. So there's certainly a few blokes floating around, but I think, yeah, just the player source and just the way, and as well, the resurgence of the Jets has helped as well, I think.
Oh, massively. I think the Jets, we've talked about this time and time again. The Seahawks and the Jets, two teams at the start of the year, probably thought they were going to be pretty dead. Nailed the draft. Absolutely nailed the draft.
Nailed it.
And they're back. Like, it's crazy how much of a difference that it makes.
Well, I think it just shows, like, I don't think you need to go for, like, the crazy big players from, like, an Alabama or something. We probably know this already, yes. That's fine. But I think if you just pick guys that can play and that are also not fooling you out in, like, a 40-yard dash or something, I think that's where a lot of people get caught up.
Yeah.
Is you're sitting at, like, a draft combine and you're watching this guy do, like, a broad jump or a 40-yard dash or something and you go, wow, I've got to take him. Okay, in the sense of DK Metcalf, who is just a freak of nature, fine. You take him off his athleticism. But the rest of the guys, we're not out here running track or something. You know, you actually need this guy to play football and not just be really fast.
Yeah, correct. It doesn't necessarily always translate. Yeah, sometimes they're just going to be that good because they are that good. But yeah, you're right. Like, pick a player for what he's done on tape, for what he's produced in college. Like, the whole scouting thing to me, and I think we've seen that into things like Moneyball and shit like that. Like, it doesn't always necessarily work out. Sometimes these scouts just don't know what they're looking at. And sometimes you pick, I don't know if teams pick on need or they pick on what's the best available and whether that actually works or not.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's pretty big, isn't it? Like, as well as we sort of mentioned systems with like Seahawks and stuff like that. If you come into like an offense or a defense that just sort of doesn't click with the way you play sometimes, that can run you down.
Yeah.
I mean, you can just come into like a really toxic coaching environment as well and it can just roll you through. So I think obviously like it's hard for us to dumb it down and just say, oh, they're just looking at this in the draft combine and that's why they're making the wrong picks. Because I think obviously there's just so many variables in life.
But there is.
It's just an easy flag to pull, I reckon.
Oh, massively, 100% it is. Like, I think they get away with not picking these guys for stupid reasons sometimes. And sometimes it blows up in their face because, I mean, you just see these guys go to teams where they fell down the boards and they just dominate and you just think, what the fuck were you doing? Like, you knew how good they were.
Yeah.
You questioned a few things and it's not worked out for you and it's panned out for someone else.
Yeah. And look, all you can do is just stand there with your dick in your hands, really.
Correct. Absolutely.
So, look, moving on. We've got our division winners. Starting off with the AFC. Now, we were all on for the Bills. Currently, the Bills sit in first, tied with the Jets and Miami. New England, one win out. I mean, this has probably got to be the tightest that we've ever seen this.
This is a very hotly contested division now. I think going into the season, we've all said Bills.
Yeah.
We both rated the Dolphins. Mikkel didn't rate the Dolphins at all. He said they were shit, which we didn't agree with. We thought the Dolphins made excellent acquisitions.
Yeah. Easily a wild card chance, like seventh or
correct.
Sixth.
I think that's where we kind of saw them at, fifth, sixth, seventh. They still probably do land there. I think Bills probably do enough to get there in first in their division. But Jets is just one that's just jumped. I know we've said we'll talk about him in a little bit, but they've just been excellent.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's just been able to pull it together. Like, they started off Zach Wilson injured.
Yeah.
Probably a little bit rusty with Flacco. I think, did he win a game, is that where their losses sort of came from?
No, like, I think they won some games with him. Yeah. I know they lost to Baltimore initially. I think they played the AFC North all the way through to the start. Yeah. So they might have got a win against Cleveland Steelers in Cleveland. I don't know if they beat Cincy. They might have. I don't know. Look, we might have to look at that one. But they definitely have lost, I believe, to the Packers and I know to us.
And the Patriots, actually, they've lost.
And the Patriots. There you go. So there's a division game. That's always a tough one.
So they lost Ravens. Yeah. They beat Browns, lost Bengals, beat Steelers, beat Dolphins. See, and this was a 40-70. Like, okay. And I think
that was when Tua went
down. Tua was out, yeah. But like, that's pretty good. Beat Packs, beat Broncos, lost the Pats, and then just beat the Bills. So it's a good resume.
Oh, they're looking fantastic, and I guess they're getting players back from injury. Max has been out for a little bit. Dolphins is a funny one. I mean, we saw a video just before, and Dolphins are 6-0 when Tua starts and finishes a game. So I think they've built a team to suit him and to help him.
Yes.
And it's worked. Like, they're looking excellent. I think they pick up Teron Armstead, so their line's looking better. Their wide receiver duo has to be the best in the league.
I think it's up there. Yeah. I do like the Eagles at the moment as well. True. That's a big one. You know, their acquisitions in the offseason, and they've just been able to elevate those guys.
Yeah, it's true.
It's tough. It's tough. And always, like, you've got guys like the Rams is pretty good as well, although Robinson hasn't been able to come through.
No.
You know, I always still like the Bengals too. Like, that is pretty good.
Jamar Chase, it is nice.
And I think Higbee's been working his ass off, hasn't he, as well?
It's true. So there is some other good ones out there, but these two have been pretty excellent so far. So I guess looking at AFC East, do we say the Bills still win it?
Yeah, I'm still happy to lean with the Bills. Like, I think you look at their run home. So obviously they just lose the Jets. So that could be interesting tiebreaker wise. But look, they take on the Vikings, who are a 7-1 team, whoever could be a little bit of a fraudster there. Take the Browns, then the Lions, then Patriots. They get Jets again, Dolphins into Bears, Bengals, and then finally Patriots.
Yeah, a lot of winnable games there. So I think the Bills probably just get away with it. But I think it's going to be tighter than we expect. I guess it's going to come down to those games against each other.
Yeah, absolutely. So looking at the AFC North, we were all Ravens. Mika was looking at the Bengals, though. Look, pretty close. Ravens currently sitting top at 6-3. Then you've got Cincinnati 5-4, Cleveland 3-5, and probably the biggest disappointment, Pittsburgh 2-6.
Pittsburgh stink. You can rule them out right now. They're going to have a top five pick. Do they go back to quarterback? Probably not. I think they've missed a lot on Kenny Pickett, but they still might. I think the Bengals are the most inconsistent team in this division. Like, 1 week they're Super Bowl favourites, contenders, and then the next week they stink. We've been pretty consistent. We know we've blown a lot of leads, but in saying that, we've also been in every game, winning every game. So we've had a pretty tough schedule so far. The rest of the schedule looks pretty easy. I think that's probably where we do win it in terms of not dropping any more from here. I don't think we play a team with a winning record from here. I think unless Bengals are probably sitting at 500 at the moment.
Yeah, they're just over 500. Look, I've got a lead. You guys probably win this division. You look at the Bengals, though. They are currently sitting 0-3 in your division as well.
That's probably going to hurt them.
That is, and I think that's where it's going to come into the tiebreakers.
Yeah, so I think if we drop onto them, that's fine. I think we can wear that because of that fact. The fact that they're 0-3, I think that gets us home.
Then big one, looking at the AFC South, we were all bullish on the Colts, and this has been completely wrong turn. Tennessee currently sit number one at 5-3, Indy now 3-5 and a draw, Jacksonville 3-6, and then Houston 1-6 and the draw.
Fuck, what a stinker of a division. Yeah, we were hot on the Colts this year. The Colts are absolute hot garbage. They suck. The Titans are better than we thought. I guess we kind of were against the Titans, and we thought, Ryan Tannehill's not in. He hasn't been playing.
No.
They've still been winning, but I guess it showed they still need a quarterback. Malik Willis, as you've seen plenty of times before.
He's not that guy.
Yeah, he's not that guy.
He's not. And I think, look, the whole acquisition of Matt Ryan, we thought was going to be peachy. Matt Ryan, Jonathan Taylor, it was just going to work like peaches and cream. And it's gone absolutely nowhere. And now, obviously, he's been benched.
Well, that's right. And when they've also fired their coach in Frank Reich, they now have their old center, Jeff Saturday, that's going to take over as interim. Who the hell knows how that's going to go? But, yeah, big changes coming for the Colts.
Yeah, and I think you can put a line through Jacksonville and Houston, obviously. Yeah. Now we move to the AFC West. I was slightly blinded by some bias there by putting the Broncos in. We know that it's still a chance mathematically, but hope is dwindling out at Mile High.
Yeah, that flame is just slowly getting put out pretty quickly. Yeah, look, I've gone the Chargers. Mika went the Chiefs. Mika's probably safest here at the moment. Chiefs look good. Chargers, depending on how this game goes on the weekend, I don't think they will. I'm glad we all avoided the Raiders. Those guys suck.
That has been just awful, hasn't it? This was supposed to be their renaissance.
Yeah. We were expecting huge things from them. We haven't heard a peep about Max Crosby. We haven't heard a peep about Devontae Adams put up good numbers on the weekend. Granted, Josh Jacobs has probably been the best for them. Absolutely. Shining light for them this season. Derek Carr's been shit.
Yeah, absolutely awful.
McDaniel's fired?
I mean, look, probably. Yeah. There's no way he lasts the end of the season if they go under 500.
No, I don't think so.
You just couldn't. Like, with those sort of acquisitions and that sort of, you know, you were looking at the top of the division, like, absolutely.
Yeah.
On paper, you should be up at the top of the division. easily. But they are sitting there 2-6, and now they're looking at a top five pick.
Yeah, and they've blown some serious leads we were looking at today. I think they've blown like against Jacksonville, against the Cardinals. Like they were up by more than two touchdowns in some of those games.
And you're looking at some teams like, as you mentioned, Jacksonville Cardinals, who are actually doing quite poorly themselves on the other side of the division. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poo. All right, so that rounds out the AFC West. Then we move on to the NFC division. Look, NFC East, we were both big on the Eagles. I thought, look, as we said, their off-season acquisitions just look good. Hurts another year. You can just see him growing. And just that defense has just always been quite nice. They currently sit 8-0. Meikle is just, I don't know, for some reason, for an Eagles fan, he didn't want to buy them, so he's gone. He's gone the Cowboys. He's done the unthinkable. But look, to their credit, they sit with a 2-loss season just behind them. I don't think they're out of the race. I think they're certainly well within their rights. And then obviously there's been the New York Giants as well, probably one of the biggest surprise packets. Look, New York football, the Apple Isle.
Oh, New York's looking fantastic at the moment. Buffalo, the Jets, and the Giants, I suppose, they're New Jersey, aren't they?
Well, yeah. I think it depends who you ask. Yeah. It's like, we're not actually with them, but when we want to talk about our wins, we'll just add them into
ours. Yeah, correct. They're New York teams. So, look, Cowboys still isn't a bad share. I don't, like, when we talked about frauds to teams, we'll talk about Vikings in a bit. Eagles' resume and their schedule doesn't shine as much as we think, but they're still undefeated, so you can't.
I think they're undefeated, so I think that's when you got to put a little bit of respect on their name. If they were sort of sitting at a 7-1, you could be like, you might be a bit of a fraudster, but it's just that extra 8-0. I'm happy to leave them up top.
Yeah, you can't question it. Look, I think Cowboys are still a chance, but Eagles should ride this one home.
But it's interesting because we're looking at the NFC, what we normally know as the least. It's actually come through and it's producing probably some of the better teams, and it's going to have probably a couple of wild card spots. This is coming from a division where, like, what, 2-3 years ago, might have even been last year, was it, had a team coming in the playoffs under 500.
Yeah, correct. That's right. Oh, they stunk. Eagles just scraped in, didn't they?
Yeah, so maybe it was 2 years ago when the Commanders did it.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think you're right. And look, the Commanders this year, they almost won on the weekend, but, yeah, look, they're pretty shit at the moment. But, yeah, the East has been – Giants have been such a surprise to me.
Yeah, and then so we're looking for the North. We all went Packers, and look, boy, oh, boy, this division's a stinker anyway, but the Green Bay Packer train, it hasn't left the station at all.
It's piss poor, and as Lil Wayne has said, I think they should have gotten rid of Aaron Rodgers before this season, and I don't think he's all that wrong. Like, cash in on him, get him somewhere else, move him somewhere. You said Broncos, you probably should have done that.
Yep.
But I'd like to get a sound clip of what we talked about in the season. I said Vikings probably will be closer than we think, and at the moment Vikings are 7-1, looking to win the division. So I think they've sewn that up. I think when your in-division team, the Lions, trade you a player of just TJ Hockenson's caliber, something's going wrong.
Yeah, you know you're obviously putting some big scaries on, and they know that basically the day's done. Obviously Chicago are not going anywhere. I think Minnesota with primetime Kirk, if they just keep playing those games in the middle of the day, I don't think there's any way they can lose this lead.
No, it's true, but Chicago's an interesting one. I mean, they lost Robert Quinn and Roquan Smith, game Chase Claypool, which opens up the field a little bit for Fields. I think Darnell Mooney gets a little bit better from it, so does Cole Kmet, just because it's another option, and Fields played probably his best game we've seen in a while. If he continues playing the same way, they're not as bad.
Well, and I mean, that's the thing, but they're playing well because they're playing him as a running back. Like, that, all jokes aside, he was a running back on the weekend.
It's true, he was. You're right. He absolutely was. I mean, those stats, the most rushing yards in a regular season game for a quarterback, ridiculous.
Yeah, it's essentially just putting a running back in the wildcat, sorry. But I mean, you know, that's his best quality. So look, just use it for him. Moving to the NFC South. Now, actually, this is probably, look, not an amazing. You haven't got a straightaway winner. We all went the Bucks, and they currently lead on 4-5, tied with Atlanta at the moment, just winning the tiebreaker there. You then have New Orleans on 3-6, and Carolina 2-7.
This division is abysmal. I'm so glad that the Ravens have this division this year as their NFC opponents, because I can't say it's losing to any of them. We beat the Bucks already, and we beat the Saints, so we've only got to knock off the other two spuds. But, yeah, Bucks probably do get away with this one. I think Tom was playing a little reinvigorated. That last drive to get the win on, not the last drive per se, but that game-winning drive was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you can tell. He knows how to do it. Like, he's been there enough times. He's run enough two-minute drills. The bloke does know what he wants to play. And you can see it come across it. Like, it's quite straightforward. And look, we were talking about systems. Tom Brady made an absolute living out of being in a system, and that's all they've had to do around him. Just put some couple of pieces here and there, and he'll be able to deliver for them.
Yeah, Tom ticking off two things over the weekend, 100,000 yards passing for yep. regular season and playoffs, and also 1-0 as a single man. So he never lost being single. I think there might be something in that.
Well, I mean, geez. And then to think that Zach Wilson managed to get a win over the Bills as soon as Giselle was single. So
the word planets have aligned here.
I know. It's interesting, you know. But get down to your local tarot card reader if you believe all that stuff, and you'll be able to let us know. Finally, the last division. This was a mixed bag for all of us. But we've been so far wrong. I went the Cardinals, you both went the Rams, and we both sit at the bottom of the division with the Seahawks, surprising everyone at 6-3.
Yeah, I think there's one thing I wish we could take out of our podcast recordings is how, like, I think it's at the end of the episode of our preseason review, and we said, how shit are the Seahawks going to be? How many games are they actually going to win? I think someone said 2 or 3.
What an absolute laughing stock these idiots are going to be.
Yeah, my God. I don't think we've ever been more wrong. So I'm happy to be wrong there because I actually don't mind the Seahawks.
I don't know. You're probably more wrong on that Bets with Mates group the other day when you lost all that money, but that's fine.
we're clawing our way back.
Touchy subject still, but as you can probably tell, we're not recording on a roadcaster for one reason only.
Yeah. But look, if we get to our next slide, you'll probably see someone else who's been a little disappointed in their prediction for the Super Bowl. Who have you got there?
It was a team called the Denver Broncos. Now, it was a young crew that I just thought were going to be able to work their way in and surprise people in the finals. However, I was slightly wrong. The veteran head that we brought in has clearly just taken a nosedive and, oh my God, this is genuinely a kamikaze job. He just has to, like, I don't know what else this guy is doing. Like, this is just absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't make this shit up.
Yeah, and it's funny that the Broncos are yet again on a search for a quarterback since Peyton Manning left. Like, we thought, oh, yep, here it is. They've finally found the answer to their needs, and this is what's going to get them over the hump. And, geez, it's sent them backwards.
More. Like, I don't think we could have gone any further backwards from, like, Brock Osweiler, but we have managed to.
Yeah, Drew Locke probably would have done a better job.
100%.
So, Geno Smith is looking like an absolute superstar, and Pete Carroll's laughing.
He's laughing all the way to the bank. They've got so many players. They've got so many picks. I mean, and now we've had to trade in a way other players just so we can have some more first-round picks to go get that quarterback with our top five pick.
Yeah, it's true. Now, look, I said the Bills. I think the Bills are still every chance to win it, so that's not a bad prediction. Meekles decided after week one. I reckon after week one, he probably would have said the Bills, maybe the Chiefs.
Yeah, I still think this is a bullshit excuse to get through, like, oh, I need to see the teams play once. It's like, we've seen them. You know who's playing. Just pick a team and get on with it.
Yeah, right? Well, would he have picked the Eagles after seeing them in week one?
No, I don't think so. He doesn't have enough trust in them still, and they're 8-0.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if they ever trust Jalen Hurts.
But they could go through and win 16-0 and win the Super Bowl, and he still wouldn't trust Jalen Hurts.
No, it's true. I reckon looking at the results from week one, Bills beating the Rams by 21, I reckon he probably would have touched them, absolutely.
Yeah. So I suppose moving on to our biggest surprise, this has been an interesting one. I picked the Eagles, and I think this was pretty bang on. Like, huge. But obviously, we've got to talk about a couple others. You picked the Lions and the Jets. Now, again, probably a bit touchy that you're allowed to pick two teams, but fine, that's okay. You know, you do you. Obviously, the Jets have been all right, but the Lions, that was a surprise. They've been surprisingly bad.
Oh, they have been surprisingly bad. Surprisingly, their offense was excellent in the first 4 weeks, but holy shit, yeah, they've really taken a nosedive. They did win on the weekend, so the boys are back. They're on the rise. The Jets is one that I'm really happy with. Dolphins, I think, was one that both of us were talking about as being a surprise, but we didn't put it on our list, which is disappointing because I think we both definitely mentioned it. But I'm happy with putting the Jets there. I think we nailed that.
Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky is Meekle's pick, and I don't think we need to say any more. That is a fucking absolute howler. That is a horrible, horrible pick, Meekle. I don't know what you're thinking. So I think we can move on. I think both of us were pretty good with our surprises. I'm pretty, like, Eagles is an excellent pick. I wouldn't have gone there. I think we both liked them, but you've definitely nailed it with that pick.
Well, I think we just knew they were going to get better. Like, they looked good last year. They were a playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
They just go down, I think it was to the Bucks, who are basically an NFC championship team.
Yeah.
And then they come away and they just add more. And you just see these guys getting better as we just keep sort of saying. So we see them more. And then we finally move on to the last one, which was the biggest disappointment. Now, I've gone the Bengals. And I think, to be fair, that has been a little bit on brand because they have been, you know, very hot and cold. And especially coming off a Super Bowl, you would have probably expected them to be a bit better than second in their division and just sitting above 500.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right there. I think that's a very decent pick in terms of disappointment. Now, I think when we're talking about it, I said I hoped they would, and I hoped they have the Super Bowl hangover, but I wasn't as confident enough to say they'd be a disappointment. But Bengals, yeah, I think it's been the inconsistency has been disappointing for them. If you're a fan of them, like what you see one week compared to the next week is absolutely outrageous. But my pick of the Cowboys probably couldn't be any more wrong. I think they're actually pretty decent.
Yeah, especially when going through, as you sort of said, without Dak Prescott for many weeks, they've managed to come through. Cooper Rush has played well. I think everyone's just done their job. Tony Pollard's been all lights out, hasn't he?
Man.
Like, so good.
Yeah, like just quickly, do we see him just sit at RB1 and Zeke's gone next year?
Yeah, fucking oath.
Yeah, good. I'm happy about that. I think someone could use Zeke. I think another team, he could not rejuvenate his career, but find his feet again.
I think, you look at it and you use him in like a high-powered offense type thing. Yeah. I think he just, he came in obviously and was like a big all-down back.
Yeah.
And I just don't think he has the capability to do that anymore. I mean, you know, look, he's been in the league for about like 6 or 7 years almost.
Yeah,
like,
it's true. Time flies, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially for a running back. Like, they've only got like a 2-year lifespan most of the time.
Yeah, so it's true.
To still be there doing, like, he can do some stuff, but he's just not making the bigger, longer plays that you sort of expect. I think he's going to be more of a power back because he's a fucking huge man, isn't he? Like, just feed him the rock and let him get 3 yards. Beat up some of the line and then take him out after the second quarter when he's gassed.
No, absolutely. So, look, I think looking quickly at Mangle's prediction for the biggest disappointment in the Dolphins. So, Mangle's had a bit of a stinker there.
Yeah, I mean, think overall in your biggest disappointment for the year, would it have to be the Las Vegas Raiders?
Yeah, geez, it would have to be pretty close. I think they've been, I think,
like next Denver to probably, Broncos. Next to probably, yeah, okay, Denver's been pretty bad. But next to maybe like Green Bay, probably.
Yeah, I was going to say Green Bay's probably another one.
But the only thing I would say, Green Bay probably wasn't a disappointment because we knew they had no stock coming in. Like, yeah. Las Vegas had everyone coming in. They had all the fancy lights, and it's just turned to absolute poo.
Yeah, it's almost like Steelers, too. Like, we probably didn't have expectations. And, yeah, they've been disappointing, but the expectations weren't there.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's funny. I was just actually having a quick look at the comments on the in our comment section for those posts. Some bloke saying went all through wrong on AFC West, so it must be a Raiders fan, so he's clearly wrong. this other bloke had Bills, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs, Eagles, Vikings, Bucks, Rams. That's not bad. Yeah. Surprise, the Giants. Disappointment, I think Bengals. Wouldn't be shocked to see if they somehow lost to the Steelers to start the year. Fuck, he has ticked a lot of boxes there. Yeah. Western Cards, well played if you were listening. Good call. Our friend Manjot, he's gone Bills, Super Bowl, and AFC East, Ravens, AFC North, Titans, AFC South, Chargers, West. Not bad. Cowboys East, Vikings North, Bucks South, Rams West. Surprise, I could see it being the Lions or Jets. Disappointment going to be the Cowboys. So you went with me there on the same one. So
yeah,
look at some decent predictions from our friends there. But yeah, look, I think halfway through the year, most of our predictions aren't looking too bad.
No, it's not bad. And I think we've got a decent look at it. Obviously, my biggest blunder was getting blinded and getting high on my own supply of Russell Wilson. Like, I really hate my own stash when I was that.
Oh, my word. Yeah, you were.
And I was trying to dish out the good word of Lord Wilson, wasn't I? And it's just same as like the door knockers. I got the door shut slam on my face, didn't I? Egg on everyone.
Yeah, look, you're a fellow Jehovah's Witness going door to door. But look, that probably puts us through halfway through the season. We haven't had a look at week 9 yet. But it's been good so far. I think looking at our predictions, we could be on the way to some good predictions at the end of the year. I think we're up for a second half of the year. It's going to be phenomenal.
Yeah, look, we love that. So now, look, we're going to quickly touch on week 9 and probably just run through our player awards.
Yep.
I think probably the big one for the week was the offensive player of the week. Look, I'm going to go for the running back from the Chicago Bears, Justin Fields. He had a good day. They only made him throw it 28 times. So, you know, that's a fair few times for a running back to be letting the cannon loose. But, yeah, it was the 178 yards and the one tutty on the ground that probably got him. And, you know, they pushed the Miami Dolphins all the way to the edge there.
Yeah, look, he actually was excellent. I thought he was phenomenal. They did pretty well, and I thought maybe they're going to win this game. Mike McDonald was not happy with him. He's like, just stop him out there. But, yeah, look, Fields is improving. He still needs to improve as a passer. He can't play running back forever.
Yeah.
But good day out.
Yeah. I think you put that a ticks in the box, and it's a way forward essentially for him. Yeah. There is light. Maybe there is light at the end of the tunnel. I was ready to say he's not going to be an NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
Maybe there is light at the end of the tunnel. I know you may sound flippant from me, but from a man who's had so many flippers, I think I'm allowed to I know how to flip.
Yeah, you can flip with the best of them. I'm going to have to go with Joe Mixon this week. 22 from the week he had before with not much run game when they lost.
Yeah.
I think the Bengals really rely on if they can get the run game going, they'll look unbeatable.
Well, especially without Chase, like there's just not that other weapon.
Yeah, well, Burrow's still just playing really well. His accuracy is fantastic.
Mm.
But Mixon, 22 carries, 153 yards, 4 rushing touchdowns. He also had, let me just get this up, he had 4 catches for 58 yards and a touchdown. So 5 touchdowns and 200 plus yards. Ridiculous. I think he had 35 points. Oh, sorry, he scored 5 of the touchdowns by halftime. So
it's a big day out.
Oh, it's wild. I think the best thing I saw was their celebration when they did the Remember the Tide celebration. So, look, I'm happy with that as offensive player of the week. I think those are 2 good selections.
Yeah, looking into defensive now, look, I'm going to go Bobby Okereke from the Indianapolis Colts.
Mm.
He only allowed 2 catches this week, and he basically forced a fumble early in the third quarter that I think changed the momentum of that game.
Yeah, I think he was huge, actually. Okereke's really good, and I think he's probably someone the Colts really needed. They've sort of been struggling where they're really strong this year. Normally, that's probably their strong point, offensive line and defense. They've been battling. So, for me, I found someone who's been drinking from the fountain of youth, really wound back the clock this year. Justin Houston, 3 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 1 pass defense, and 1 interception. I mean, for a man of his age, that's phenomenal. Like, he's sitting in the top 20, 30 players for sacks of all time. He's at over 100 now, and he's, third in the league in sacks. So he's been excellent, I think, this year.
Yeah, that's lights out from him. So then wrapping it up, Rookie of the Week, Rookie Watch. For me, I'm going to go the absolute PCM post-contact meter king out there, Kenny Walker III, like coming out of Michigan State, and I think we talked about him anyway before,
yeah.
But like, holy shit, like that man can just bust some tackles and he carries blokes yards, 109 yards, 2 tutties, and as we mentioned earlier, he's sort of been the breakout rookie of the year, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been excellent. When you're saying post-contact meters, I thought you were going to say Damian Pierce. But both have been good. He was definitely an option
for us. Both of them have actually been, punching that nut through the line.
Oh, they've both been so good. I think that's the shining light for the Texans this year. But I think for me, I have to go defensive player that probably hasn't had much talked about him, Kirby Joseph. And look, I didn't really know a huge amount about him. But, geez, he was excellent. Picked off Aaron Rodgers twice in the game. So, look, I have to give it to him. 10 tackles, 5 solo, 3 pass defense, and 2 intercepts. That's a huge day out. I'm just having a look at where this guy was drafted. Drafted out of Illinois. I don't even know what round he was picked in, but yeah, look, I thought he was excellent.
Jeez, that's good. I mean, is picking off Aaron Rodgers twice now actually that impressive anymore?
No, potentially not.
But look, as always, look towards our socials. We'll pop those ones out and we'll be voting for that. But yeah, look, having a quick peruse over week 10, we kick off the week with the Falcons taking on the Panthers in prime time. So again, thanks for Amazon for paying billions of dollars for that shit show. Then we move on. We have the Seahawks take on the Bucks, which could be an interesting game. I believe that one's over in London again, isn't it?
It's either London or Germany. There's a game in Germany this week.
It is
Allianz Arena. They're playing at the home of Bayern Munich. So that could be a cracker of a game. I'm actually pretty excited for that one.
Yeah, and then looking forward, look, Titans host the Broncos in what could be our season-defining game if we haven't already had the other 8 be season-defining. Bills host the Vikings, which I think would be an interesting matchup. This could be matchup of the round here. Primetime Kirk actually getting a test against the Bills here. Bills coming off a loss, they're going to be angry.
I think the Bills do win this. I think the Vikings, they're not frauds, but they're not that great. Unless Kirk Cousins wears multiple chains and a shirt off to the game, I think they're really going to struggle.
I think he'd have to, isn't he? Like, do those chains, do you think, normal people, that would weigh them down, but for him, it makes him lighter.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's just, like, spiritually that awakened.
Oh, Kirk's just an absolute anomaly. This guy's just such a myth. He's so exciting. Like, he just seems like you run at the... Looks like a dad, almost, when he's wearing his plaid shirt on from the stand and then gets on the plane and just turns it on to another level.
Yeah, it's like, if we took away his New Balances, he may lose his power.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I think some of the things that we see on the planes from these guys, like Marlon Humphrey does the interviews after a game, and Justin Tucker's just been throwing out some absolutely fantastic chat. But yeah, Kirk Cousins on the plane. I actually hope they win this one. If their plane ride home would be wild.
Oh man, imagine that, coming back from the home of the Bills.
Oh.
Gee whiz.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, yeah, getting some of those change past the TSA, tough work. But the boys have done it. Look, then we head, the Lions head to Chicago. The Chiefs host Jaguars. Browns play the Dolphins. Texans v. the Giants. Saints v. Steelers. Colts v. Raiders. Cowboys go to the Packers. Cardinals play Rams. And to round it out, the Chargers go to 49ers. And the Commanders head to Philly.
This, nothing really excites me.
No.
About that slate of games. Like, there's not a whole lot there that I think is actually exciting. I think you guys, going back to you and the Tides, I reckon you could potentially win that with your defense. If you can stop Derrick Henry,
that's
which
about
is
it.
Pretty much it, and I think you could. I think you could win that game.
Like, if you force Malik Willis to play a whole game at quarterback,
mm-hmm.
I think that spells trouble for the team that he's run.
It'll be low scoring, that's for sure.
Oh, 100%. I can't see us scoring anything.
Could be a 10-6 to 10-7 win. But yeah, that's my pick. I reckon Broncos could knock off the Titans this week. Bills, I think, win the Vikings matchup. The only other exciting one potentially is 49ers Chargers. I think 49ers probably still do it.
Yeah, and especially, look, coming off a bye week, I think both had the bye week, didn't they? Christian McCaffrey, another week in training. You think he gets used a lot more? Like, as we sort of said, trade guys got used last week in the end, actually. It was quite good, some of them. But I think another week, this has been 3 weeks of Christian out of the bay. Does he get more passing opportunities?
Oh, geez, I hope so. That would actually be very exciting. Yeah, I think they're actually starting to utilize him pretty well. But yeah, you're right. In terms of players that have sort of switched teams, there's been some shining lights. Roquan was pretty good. Robbie Anderson has got -4 yards since he's joined the Cardinals. He has been dog shit. So there's one that's absolutely stank. So I'm glad we kind of avoided that one. But yeah, there's been some trades that have been pretty decent so far, I think.
Yeah, no, it's been good. So that sort of wraps us up for the NFL. We'll quickly touch in on the college football playoffs. The rankings got released again. Just got to watch out. Look, Georgia Bulldogs back on top, aren't they? Woof, woof.
Yeah, look.
You got to watch out. Woof, woof, woof.
Yeah,
woof,
no, woof. They were...
Who let them out? Who let the dogs out, Cam? Who let the dogs out?
Yeah, look, we kind of...
It was the Tennessee Volunteers. Yeah,
we it was disappointing. Oh, look, I'm not 100% disappointed. We went into a team's stadium who were a very good team. I think they outplayed us in pretty much all aspects of the game. Like, credit to them, they were excellent defensively. But in saying that, after our slip-ups at the start and Brett Thorson, Aussie punter, that set him up for a huge play off his back of his leg, they didn't actually score many points.
After halftime.
That's right. I mean, not that they desperately needed to, but I guess it shows that, like, yeah, if we can get on top of them early, don't let them get away, they are beatable. But yeah, look, they cemented themselves back in the number one spot, and rightfully so this week. I think they were phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, Ohio State took care of Northwestern. They kicked number two. Well, I mean, 21-7.
I mean, you look at when they scored, they blew it out. What, last fourth quarter they scored a touchdown, third quarter they scored, like, there was nothing for so long.
Yeah.
They didn't score until near the end of the first half. But yeah, CJ Stroud, 10 of 26 for 76 yards passing.
It's pretty tough reading, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not great.
Like, is it cold going out to Northwestern, like, this time of year? Like,
Illinois, yeah, it probably would have been pretty chilly. But, I mean, you're from Ohio State. Like, it should be cold there too. So, I think Northwestern's defense is actually really solid, but they were very disappointing.
Yeah, huge other games that came through. Probably the LSU versus Alabama game.
Touch on that.
Like, 1-point win. We have sort of talked about, you know, the analytics and going for it and things like that. But this was one of those moments where it paid off. The 2-point conversion for the win.
Yeah. Oh, it was excellent. I'm so glad Alabama lost. Like, I guess it makes our resume, I mean, better and worse, because we've beaten both of those teams. But LSU are looking really good at the moment. So they've really turned a corner. Brian Kelly's turned a corner. Their recruiting is about to go through the roof, I think.
Yeah. People are going to want to go back to Bordeaux, aren't they? Like,
oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's huge. Look, and also probably the other big loss or result this week was Notre Dame taking off Clemson. We have talked about Clemson. That is a fraud team.
Yeah, there you go.
That is an absolute fraud, and they have an absolute fraud at quarterback. DJ. But I don't know what Dabo Sweeney is thinking, because, you know, if you bench a quarterback 1 week and then still play him as the starter next week, what do you expect?
Yeah, well, what do you expect? Yeah, that's right. It's a rare play, and I'm so glad they lost, because that would have ruined college football playoffs for me if they just won out and played the top four. But yeah, they're out, they're done. I think that rules the ACC out.
Yeah. There's no way either them, a one-loss them, or a one-loss UNC gets in.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So I think looking at the playoffs this week, Georgia rightfully at one. We've got Ohio State, Michigan at 2 and 3. And I think that obviously is there because one of those has to lose.
Yeah.
And that knocks them out.
But I think they've both been good. They're both deserving in
that. Correct. They are. The teams in there are deserving. Look, the one, TCU, and I've said this to you today, I'm happy for them to be there. But the only thing is, like, as we talked about moving goalposts before, is like how 1 week are they behind Alabama on the resume, and then they leapfrog Tennessee with a loss to the number one team in the country. It doesn't make a huge amount of sense, but again, it's fine. I think they put it there on the premise that if we win out and the other teams change, then we'll be in anyway. Yeah, I think they play that card, as you said. They're going to expect teams to win these games, so it's going to fall into place.
I think that's what they do. They hope that it just falls into place for them. And that the results, well, I suppose, like, regardless the results decided, that's the whole idea of what they're there for.
Mm.
But, you know, when they're picking, like, the one-loss teams and who's better in here like this, it feels like they make a better job when it's like, oh, there's 4 undefeated teams left. These are the ones that we'll put in.
Yeah.
And that's when it seems to be the best semifinals because these guys literally don't have to do a job.
Yeah, oh, it's true. You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's why I can't be disappointed that I'm not upset that we're at 5. I don't mind being at 5. I think we probably shouldn't have been 1 last week, I don't think.
No, it probably should have been a 3v1 with you guys with 3.
Yeah, I think so. Or at least 2. I think the AP poll probably had it right.
Yep.
But that's okay. I think if we can win out and hopefully we don't slip up, we don't have to play a championship game. And we could still make it, which is crazy.
Yeah, look, anything can happen in a championship game. Like, imagine that, you know, an undefeated Georgia loses a SEC championship game to, say, like, a 2-loss LSU. Like,
well, that's right, exactly. Well, so looking forward here, predictions for your top 4 to finish the season right now?
I'd probably say Georgia, Michigan.
Yep. Yep.
Probably TCU.
Yep.
And then I'm thinking maybe Oregon.
Whoa, huge.
Yeah.
So like there's Tennessee.
Because I think obviously the others win out.
Yep.
And then I just think, look, a 1-loss Tennessee versus a 1-loss Oregon that has a championship win.
But also lost to Georgia 49-3. Not in Georgia.
That's true. I do take that.
I think that's where they probably and I agree with you. I think if you win the Pac-12 and you are a 1-loss,
you probably should get in. Correct. I mean, that's tough. And that was the first game of the year. Like, LSU also lost to Florida State in the first
game. Yeah, look, he's right. I think the only thing that doesn't help is they've played the same team. I think if Oregon hadn't played the same team as Tennessee hadn't lost, I think that's the difference. And I think you're right. Like, I'd be upset that we didn't make it, but I can see the reason. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, would you rather say a rematch of Oregon, Georgia, or would you rather a rematch of Oregon, Tennessee?
I think I'd rather a rematch of us because I think played on neutral soil, I think it probably could be better. But it's hard to say Oregon are playing much better football at the moment.
Well,
but,
and I mean, Bro Nix, he's playing well. Yeah. I think he's probably going to be a fraud QB as well that runs a good 40-yard dash and tricks a team into drafting him high.
100%.
But he's playing the college game well.
Yeah, look, I think for me, I think Georgia State at 1.
Yep.
Ohio State beat Michigan.
Because
I think, I don't know, maybe it is at Michigan. I can't remember where they're actually playing. I think Ohio State do enough to beat them.
Yep.
I hope they don't. I hope Michigan do win that. I don't like Ohio State. I think we finish at 3 because I think TCU potentially lose this weekend.
To Texas,
that's right. And then that probably leaves Oregon jumping into the 4 spot.
Yep, okay. I like that. I don't mind that.
Yeah.
And then obviously you're assuming that, LSU and Alabama stay 2. Clemson obviously don't get a look in. The only other opportunities you have are USC at 8-1, potentially Ole Miss at 8-1 as well. Now, they're interesting. They have Alabama this week. That will decide their season. Then they have Arkansas and Mississippi State, so that will be them. They will be 2 loss at most. You could have UCLA and, as we said, UNC not in, and the rest are 2-loss teams. So I think, that's probably your only opportunities now for the top 4.
Oh, that's right. And I think the only thing that could throw it into a spin is, as you said, if LSU make the SEC championship, beat Georgia.
You have to put in a 2-loss team.
That's right. You put in LSU.
There's no way the SEC championship...
Georgia still probably should be in there.
Yeah. There's no way the SEC champion does not play in the SEC, in the playoffs.
Yeah. So, the SEC champion, then Georgia, and then how the hell do you feel the rest of you? You've obviously got the Big 12 champion.
That's when these guys are going to actually earn their money.
Big 10, yeah. Does the Big 10 have a championship or is it just first past?
No, everyone does have a championship now, actually.
So, does that make it interesting? Or can Ohio State and Michigan not play each other?
No, because I think
they're both from the East.
They actually have they still have the divisions. Yeah, so that's why there's the talk of getting the divisions. So they'll basically, whoever wins that is going to play a 7-2 Illinois.
Yeah, okay. So Illinois aren't too bad, but yeah. That's pretty shit. Cause
compared to like the other side, you've got Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State, who are all ranked above Illinois.
Yeah, which hurts. I think, as you said, I think that's why you need to get rid of the divisions, because I think that'll change Tennessee and LSU's trajectory too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah, look, I mean, college football's really heating up. We love that. College football is super exciting this time of year.
Yeah, only three more rounds to go.
Three more. It's wild. And then we're back into the end of it.
Beauty. So, looking at wrapping this bad boy up, we've got the James Squire. How's that gone down for you?
Oh, I finished it pretty early in the piece. I've got a little squirt left. But, yeah, look, as I said before, I don't mind a ginger beer. It's pretty strong ginger taste.
It's like the old, you remember when you go to like your nan's or something and you get like the glass bottled Bundaberg ones as a kid and you think, I'm drinking beer.
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
I'm sitting at the big kids' table with the beer.
A little bit spicy, yeah.
Oh, look at that. It's spicy.
Yeah, that's right. So look,
here, let me take a sip and just cough up. Yeah. No, it's not the drink, I swear to God.
Yeah, correct. So look, one standard drink, it's pretty light on, but look, I think you could probably sit back on a few of these. For me, this is probably 3 out of 5.
Yeah, I was probably looking at it's a bit harsh to even give it like a 2.5, but when I compare it to other ginger beers like I've had, like your Brookvale units or something, which is just outstanding.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not bad, as you said, but in relation to the others, I'm feeling like looking at a 2.5, 3 as well.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think maybe if you're a ginger beer puritan, I think this is probably the more of the pure ginger beer taste. But Brookvale, yeah, those things go down excellently. Now, there's a few of those we do want to try. There's a lemon lime bitters and a lemon squash one, so we might have to look at those in the future.
Jeez, don't tempt me. All right. Well, that's us for this week. Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for letting us in your crib. It's been real.